all you 80s metalheads there. That's an old one. Let's take Mr. Producer, bring Bill on. He wants to plug a geoengineering DVD real quick. My buddy Bill from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Bill. What you got?
Well, first of all, thank you, Robert, for the polka. I really enjoy that music, you know, right before I go to sleep. But anyway, there's a DVD out called Franken Skies, a guy by the name of Landman, L-A-N-D-M-A-N. It's really good, and it fits in with what you've been bringing out tonight. There's a segment in there that's very interesting. It shows Al Gore before a congressional committee, and he's being torn apart by a congressman. And you'll never guess who it was. Steve Scalise.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, he's just shredding Al Gore. And the next thing you know, bingo, he's down and out.
Well, you know what's interesting, Bill, that you bring that up, and a lot of people made the connection that Steve Scalise was into trying to expose the human trafficking angle, but I wasn't aware that he was a big trasher of the carbon tax, climate change fraud as well. That's quite fascinating.
Yeah. So it's called Franken Skies. It may be on the internet. I don't know.
Yeah it is. It
I
is.
Have a gal that sends me information, and she included that, so it's dynamite. The other thing, did you hear Pechenik when they were taking calls on Alex's show, and a guy by the name of Scott from Connecticut called in?
And well, hold on, Bill. Bill, hold tight.
Yeah.
Mr. Producer, find clip 23. I was about to get to this, Bill.
Okay, that's great. And your show tonight is tops.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Hold on the line. Let's play it, and then I'll let you comment. Mr. Producer, let's hit clip 23. Everybody listen close. All right, go ahead. But this guy, 23, it's you'll see it. Yeah, it's 4213. Yeah, this is a caller that calls in. Pechenik and Jones are taking calls, and this guy comes right in after the break, and he talks about Zionist occupational government. He talks about Jewry running everything. And then Pechenik says, well, I can't argue with you. Go ahead, Mr. Producer.
In Connecticut. Scott in Connecticut, listening at 1120 a.m. WBCM. Wants to talk about Afghanistan. Scott, thanks for holding. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. It's an honor to speak to a legend like you.
No, honor to talk to you. Come on.
Well, this is what I want to say. We need to get out of Afghanistan, the Middle East. There's no point of us being there. The only one that benefits, sir, is Israel and the Zionists. We're there because we're joined to the hip with Israel and the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, wields tremendous power. Congressmen and senators can't get elected to office in this country if they're against Israel. They're branded as an anti-Semite, a Jew hater. They just wield too much power. And talking about AIPAC, all of the garbage that's going on for Trump is coming from George Soros, who is an international Jewish banker, communist, and fifth columnist, who's behind the Occupy Wall Street movement and the Black Lives Matter. And him, along with Charles Schumer and Adam Schiff and Bernie Sanders, Dianne Feinstein, want to make America a Jewish communist nation. Let's be honest. America absolutely, positively has a Zionist-occupied government, a Zog. The Jews control Wall Street, the media, Hollywood, and American foreign policy. The proof.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I think in your statement is the answer. You've got Soros trying to overthrow Israel and Netanyahu in the documents in the WikiLeaks. And then you're saying that Soros is controlling America when he was a Nazi collaborator. Isn't it that you've got all sorts of different Jews in the world with different political views, and that some of these leftist Jews, because they're just leftist, have these collectivist models? I understand there's a big Israel lobby, And I don't like any foreign lobby manipulating us, and I've been against it. So I get called anti-Israel while I'm called, you know, a minion of Israel. But let's get Pechenik's take on that, because, I mean, I know, Dr. Pechenik, you had family that actually did die under Hitler's occupation. You know, you're, I guess, half Jewish or whatever. You know, so you guys fled to Cuba because the U.S. wouldn't take you or whatever. You know, earlier, I guess, with FDR, but later would. You've written a book about it and your mother's experiences. I mean, what is your real view on this? Is the guy that did the Camp David Accords successfully, with Jimmy Carter? I mean, you're a famous guy when it comes to Middle Eastern peace. What's really happening?
He's not wrong. I wish he were, but the issue of I'm as a Jew, and in the beginning, I was in what's called Betah. Betah was the right wing of the Israeli armed forces and the right wing of the political system. What the gentleman's trying to say, and he's not being anti-Semitic, is that there is a disproportionate number of Jews in the White House. He's absolutely correct. I do not need an Orthodox Jew in the White House who's going to tell you about Chabad. What they don't tell you about Chabad is that Rabbi Schneerson was a traitor when he got out of Warsaw with the Nazi help and the Abwehr. He came to the United States and denounced my family, who was exterminated, and said the 6 million Jews were deserved to die. So we have Israel. When, in fact, we, the escaping Jews from Europe, tried to get to Israel, and Eichmann actually spoke Hebrew. He was in Israel in the 1920s. Ben-Gurion and the head of the Jewish agency said to the Eichmann, who wanted money and needed people, he said, we will give you thousands of the Jews in the camps in return for some financial help. The answer was no, we need 300 cows instead of one Jew. So the issue of the American Jew.
You can stop it there. Yeah, that was an interesting call. And when I listened to that, Bill, I sent myself a text and I was like, I'm going to play that on my show because, for that guy to ramble on, and then Pechenik's like, hey, look, the guy's not lying. We got too many Jews in the White House, especially an Orthodox Chabad Lubavitch one like Jared. And in Ivanka, people are I don't know if she's the one that got Bannon to get out or not, but there was all that speculation. Very fascinating. Now Sebastian Gorka's gone. What's your thoughts real quick after we play the video and then the last few days?
Well, first of all, Alex says, we'll come back to Pechenik in Scott in Connecticut. And when he comes back from the break, they're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. I mean, yeah. He didn't want that any more of that kind of talk coming out on his show, so...
Well, that Scott guy had his points. He had his points ready, and he blasted it out. You know, like the last time I got on with Jones, I blasted my points out about 9/11, and I mentioned Bolin and Thorne and all the Edward Hendry and all the researchers, and you know, and so I haven't tried to get through in a long time, but I know Frank does from time to time, and he drops his truth bombs. But yeah, what's your thoughts lately with the Afghanistan and then Bannon and Gorka leaving, and what are you feeling right now?
Well, I've ordered a sign for in front of the farm: "No more wars, Mr. President."
Yeah,
and that's what's coming up here, you know. So yeah. I'm just. You know, I've been very upset with what Trump's been doing, but now this is going to make it worse. So,
yeah. Hey, Mr. Producer, get clip one ready while I got Bill on the phone, because Bill's been involved in government up there in Wisconsin for a while, and I want him to run the clip one by him, because we've all heard about Mark Levin, this Article 5 Convention of States movement. It's really it's getting close to getting enough basically states to call a quorum, I guess, if you will, of basically being able to tinker with the Constitution in pretty significant ways. Let's roll clip one.
I was perusing the news and I came about an article on the Pew Charitable Trust website. That's pewtrust.org. And it poses the question, is changing the Constitution the only way to fix Washington? This is a slippery slope, my friends. It says, next month, in September, delegates of state lawmakers will travel to Phoenix, Arizona, to attend what organizers say will be the first formal conventions of states since the Civil War. Think about that for a second. Since the Civil War, states have never got together in a formal convention. Now they're getting together. They'll gather at the Capitol inside the turquoise-carpeted House chamber and draw up rules for a hoped-for-the-future meeting, a convention to draft an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. No, quote, amendment convention has taken place since the Constitution was written over 200 years ago. But the idea is gaining steam now, stoked by groups on the left and the right that say amendments drafted and ratified by states are the last best hope for fixing the nation's broken political system and dysfunction. Some say even tyrannical federal government. Yeah, that's me. Quote, we have a Congress in the United States made up of two bodies, the House and Senate, that are incapable of restricting their own power, said Texas State Senator Brian Birdwell, a Republican. With the conventions, he says, states are stepping in to clean up the mess. Current push for the convention began in the early years of the Obama administration, mostly driven by Republican lawmakers. Ohio Governor John Kasich and Texas Governor Greg Abbott are big supporters. So are former presidential candidates Senator Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. Although many amendment topics have been proposed, the most popular would require the federal government to balance its budget. 27 states have passed resolutions in favor of a balanced budget amendment since the 1970s. The Balanced Budget Amendment Task Force, the main group currently pushing the idea, says it could get to 34 states before the next presidential election. But to get to two-thirds of the states required to force Congress to call a convention, the task force and its supporters, it says, will need to win over skeptical lawmakers and beat back opposing groups that say a convention called to discuss a single issue could end up rewriting crucial parts of the Constitution or scrapping the nation's founding document altogether. And this is where I come in, because it is truly and indeed a slippery slope. Because when you call an Article 5 constitutional convention, the entire Constitution is open to editing. You can cut and paste anything you want. And that, my friends, is the problem, because
all
what
right,
could
go
begin...
ahead and stop it. Here's the thing. With all these Bolsheviks running around in our state houses and Bill, it'd be good if you could go in with limited, what happened, Mr. Producer? Okay, good. You could go in with limited, you know, priorities and say, we're not going here, but all these commie weirdos running around and, you know, calling, I got here in Missouri, Maria Chapel Nadal calling for Trump's assassination. Do I want to trust any of these people tinkering with an open blank check on our Constitution? Bill, while I got you on the line, your thoughts? I mean, Levin's all for it and all these kind of neocons and the rest of it, but it's just like, gosh.
Terrible. This is absolutely terrible. No matter what they would do, they don't follow the Constitution now.
Right.
So, you know, what will happen? Let me give you an example. In Wisconsin, all the libs and so forth were upset with the redistricting that was done. They said, oh, it denied their votes, it stole their votes. So resolutions were being proposed on a county level to come up with a nonpartisan body that would reshape redistricting. So they brought a professor up from Madison to speak before our county board on the issue, and, everybody on the left was all in favor of it. And I'm sorry to say that right now the left controls our county board. But anyway, I spoke. I said, you talk about democracy. I said, democracy is nothing more than having two wolves and a sheep vote on what's for lunch. I said, we all say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the meeting. We pledge to the Republic for which it stands. I said, there's a huge difference. I said, you didn't have your vote stolen. You didn't convince enough people to vote for a candidate that was so corrupt and so evil that the American people didn't want to go along with it. I said, I'm sick and tired of all this whining where, you know, your vote's been stolen. So when the vote was taken, they passed the resolution 18-4. And some of the Republicans on the board there didn't have the guts to vote against it. So yeah. Now, this is coming before the U.S. Supreme Court, the Wisconsin redistricting plan. They're taking it all the way to the Supreme Court. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, there, I mean, Maxine Waters and all these people, I mean, this attempt at the Bolshevik Red Terror is coming our way. They're cranking up their little shock troops. Hopefully cooler heads prevail. I don't know. Like, I'm covering these 5G systems, these mind control systems. I look at my fellow man, my fellow citizens out here, and some of them are impervious to the programming, but so many of them are not. And so this is hard to, you know, to deal with. This is a very crucial time in our nation's history and in the world's history itself. And so thanks for weighing in, Bill. Glad you called in.
One last thing. I did get on Alex's show not too long ago when Roger Stone was on there, and I said either Trump is stupid or we're being played.
Yeah, well.
And they tried to change the topic. So,
yeah, well, you know, just like the Pharaoh, hopefully, you know, I got a great clip I'm going to play off after the other side. Thanks for making me think of that, Bill.
Leave me on, not to talk, but to listen.
All right.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Incendiary Radio. Now, let me set this up. Mr. Producer, hopefully you got clip 26 ready. This is Jack Posobiec on Jones, and he basically admits that he's naval intelligence. He was active duty. Now he's in the reserves. And what kind of guy could be in the naval intelligence reserves, be this big Trumpian, and not get in trouble with his command? Let's play clip 26.
Right, they twist everything around. They don't say, hey, here's a guy who served his country admirably, who's been awarded by the U.S. military, and he's been retweeted by the president. They say, oh, no, this guy's got to be shut down. We can't talk to this guy. Don't listen to him. I said, hey, what about all these awards? What about all these deployments I've done? No. You're someone who we can't be listened to. So they try to discredit and they try to peel back anything that you're saying rather than talk about the actual content of what I tweeted and the fact that the president retweeted it. The 39 shootings in Chicago, we had 63 this past weekend. They're still not talking about it, Alex. And then they're
and that's how they changed the subject. We got a guy with no criminal record, intel officer, you know, a before and now reserve. We need to have his thing pulled because they knew.
Okay, stop it. Stop it there. Okay, intel officer, now reserve, naval intelligence, just like Bill Cooper. Very interesting. Now get clip 27 ready, Mr. Producer. This is Minister Louis Farrakhan a few months back talking about they're setting up a patsy because they're going to kill the president. He's in Chicago. Like I've been saying for a couple of years now, watch Chicago. The pension system's belly up. The state of Illinois is belly up monetarily. Something might happen up there. And now listen to Farrakhan here, clip 27.
Right now, they're developing a patsy. For the murder of the president. These wicked people, and I'm just warning you murderers out there. Yes, sir. You better leave Trump alone. Yes, sir. Because if you kill him, you will find revolution faster than you could think. And by the way, if you come into Chicago to get me, in the name of you looking for gangs, let me know when you're coming so I could meet you. Because I'll be damned if I'll run from you. And if God lets you kill me, I'll be the last one that you kill.
All right, go ahead and stop it.
You-
hey, this is heavy. He's warning about them killing Trump. But as you know, Posobiec and a lot of these people, oh, well, what about all he killing in Chicago? They always bring up Chicago and the murder rate. Trump's talked about sending the feds into Chicago to try to get it under control. Farrakhan's talk about you send some people up here and you kill me. So think about it. Farrakhan warning against Trump getting whacked. Farrakhan talking about you whack me. Listen, Farrakhan sold the Nation of Islam to Scientology, which a lot of people don't want to talk about. But at the same time, if you whack Farrakhan and somehow you and these Nation of Islam types think it's a deep state hit, which probably they're going to. He's 85 years old, but the guy dies. There's these parallels between the death of Farrakhan and the death of Trump, especially around Rahm Emanuel, the city of Chicago, which is belly up pension-wise. There's a lot of money in Chicago, but the millionaires have been moving out like crazy. But at the same time, there's like a perfect storm, and I've been talking about it for a long time over the city of Chicago. Hodges and a lot of other people, Quayle, a lot of people have been talking about Chicago's ripe for some sort of a false flag. You got the Willis Tower, the Blackstone Group. Supposedly years ago they talked about painting it in thermite. I don't know if this is true or not. I haven't been there to do a sample of the paint on the Willis Tower, whether it's thermite paint or not. I don't know. But you read these crazy reports and the coalescence of all these things. And then Stefan Molyneux, The Fall of Chicago, There Will Be No Recovery. You watch that video where he gets into the facts and figures with everything. I mean, think about it, man. Perfect place to pull a false flag. Keep your eyes on Chicago. That's all I'm saying. It keeps coming up in my psyche. I don't know why.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Everything which we have
We're back. Radio. Now, this is some kind of weird news that a lot of you probably don't even know who this guy was. Rich Piana, L.A., Italian guy, bodybuilder, about a year younger than me. I mean, this guy was a beast. Rich Piana, P-I-A-N-A. You want to look at a specimen of a guy that was open about steroid cycles. And I mean, very freaky that I saw this Cernovich was tweeting it out last night. Rich Piana lived as big as he was. He did not go at the largest that marked his life. That he'd been placed in a medically induced coma only went public well after the fact. For someone who documented so much of his life and responded to all the positive and negative charges leveled against him, the silence was eerie. This lack of Piana, I mean, this guy had a million Instagram followers, and each one of his YouTube videos would be like a million views. This lack of Piana was unprecedented in his life, apart from a blackout period last year when many speculated he was hospitalized. We always saw what Piana wanted to show us, but he offered more than most of his ilk. In his last days, the absence of his voice was confirmation that he was not long for our world. Piana was outsized in every way. His death makes sense from a logical standpoint. He was a leviathan of a man whose heart strained from just waking up in the morning. His organs were bloated and fatigued from his unusually heavy steroid cycles, which he famously posted for all to see. And you could go to his YouTube channel, Rich Piana. Crazy. Bodybuilders, even one much smaller than Piana, don't typically make it long enough to become AARP members. His passing is shocking anyway. Maybe it's because Keith Richards types, people who defy the odds of their lifestyle to outlive those who do boring stuff like jog and eat boiled chicken breasts, are so lionized. The few pickled humans who roll lucky on the longevity odds get so much attention that the mean outcome can be shocking. I don't want to waste a whole lot of time, but Piana, his shoulders, this guy, he was freakazoid. And, you know, a lot of people trashed him on YouTube. And I mean, the guy was freaking a monster. And so now he's dead. And it's just crazy to, you know, deal with that. Mr. Producer, get clip 7 ready. I got to play this one. This is James Alsup. Young kid, very well spoken. I played his videos before. And this one's called Ma Privilege, and it's about white privilege and all the mind control crap they try to throw on white people, that they're so privileged in society and all the rest of it. Let's ride clip 7.
White privilege. You may not be aware if you have it, but you sure as hell know if you don't. White privilege refers to the benefits white people get from society that people of color don't.
Ah, yes. The ubiquitous and omnipresent white privilege. Those privileges granted to every white person in America by virtue of being white. I know that at last year's whiteness check-in, I was personally given a stack of money, a house, and a free education, simply because I'm a white devil. And that's true for all of society. I mean, have you ever seen a person of color owning a house? I haven't. Have you ever seen someone that wasn't white attending college? Nope. I'm pretty sure that's never happened either. And you have to remember, all results in your life and the lives of others are determined by society and the way you're born. Personal work ethic has nothing to do with it.
It's walking into a store and not being followed on the suspicion you might steal.
This is a common thing leftists refer to, but I don't quite buy it. If a black dude in a suit and tie walks into a business, he's probably not going to be looked at twice. Similarly, if a white dude dressed like Riff Raff walks into Best Buy, employees are probably going to pay closer attention to him. By the way, according to the FBI, despite making up only 13% of the population, American blacks commit 27% of theft, 30% of motor vehicle theft, 33% of forgery, 31% of fraud, and 27% of embezzlement, and 32% of buying, receiving, or possessing stolen property. Given that African Americans are statistically more likely to steal, it does make sense that shopkeepers would pay more attention to black shoppers. I get that that's unfair to the individual, yes, but statistics are all about trends, not specific exemptions.
It's wearing baggy pants and a backwards hat and not being labeled a gangsta. And it's not being harassed by the cops.
Yes, because whites never get pulled over. In fact, if you're white and you do get pulled over by the police, just make sure to show the officer your 23andMe genealogy report, and they're legally obligated to let you go with a warning.
But what does it mean to you?
What is white privilege?
In my opinion, I would say that white privilege is
a luxury that white people have of not being judged off top.
White people don't get judged for their race, huh? It's interesting, because it's almost like you're judging all white people as a result of their race by suggesting there's some kind of nefarious system known as white privilege that all white people are complicit in, keeping minorities down.
You know, it's probably subtle, but with what's happening lately, it's really hard to miss or to think that it doesn't exist, right?
I wonder if this guy knows that Asians are actually doing the best economically in this white privileged country. Asians actually make, on average, $11,000 per year more than whites do. It's almost as if the real privilege here is having a higher IQ, where Asians as a group exceed. Interesting.
Does anybody care about this kind of stuff?
Okay? Yes, they do. I think they do, especially now in
terms.
You don't?
I mean, it is what it is, you know?
Whoa. Based.
Does white privilege exist?
Absolutely.
What is it?
It's the ability to have our kids playing in a park and play with a toy gun and not get shot.
If you want your kid to play with a toy gun in the park, step one is probably telling your kid not to remove the orange tip from the end of it. In almost every one of these shootings where a police officer shoots a black kid with a toy gun, the orange safety tip had been removed from the toy gun. Officers had no way of knowing whether or not it was a real firearm. Secondly, don't point it at the cops. That's another mistake a lot of these kids make. This stuff really shouldn't be that hard.
Do you think white privilege exists?
Definitely. It's basically a ticket to anything that everybody else is excluded from because of your skin color.
What is this woman talking about? This doesn't even make sense as a metaphor. Take a look at affirmative action in colleges, where non-white, Hispanic, and black students literally get tickets to attend university because of their race, not because they were necessarily great or exceptional students. Even the New York Times is conceding that non-white, non-Asian students have been given unfair preferential treatment, yet it hasn't made a difference in overall enrollment numbers. Perhaps this is due to individual choices and also IQ, which correlate strongly with school performance, but if you mention that, you're labeled as a racist. This woman's argument so far has been entirely without evidence. Let's see if she can make an argument beyond simply muh feelings.
Do you think you benefit from that?
Absolutely.
How so?
I can expect to be treated respectfully, and I can expect to be taken for who I am without people thinking about my skin color often. It's fucked up.
I love this mystical notion that leftists have that white people are worshipped in American society, while people of color are being flogged in the streets and discriminated against by racist white devils. That's not quite how things actually work. Let's take a look at this article written by a Hispanic guy addressed at the pro-white demonstrators in Charlottesville, titled, "Yes, We Will Replace You." Quote, "You will be replaced by Latinos such as myself. You will be replaced by the many fine people I work with and am friends with, people who come in all shapes, sizes, colors, and believe in every creed imaginable. You will be replaced by people like my mother, a white American who abhors everything you stand for. We will replace you. America's demographics and attitudes are moving away from your hatred." Incidentally, this means America's getting less white. "Our progress has been halting and far too sporadic, but it will not backslide because of you." Huh. Oh boy, with people like this openly celebrating the end of white people, I can't imagine why more young white American men are moving over to the alt-right. Anyways, the point is, white Americans are treated with much more racial animus than minorities are. White Americans are consistently told that we are the problem. We are evil. We did something wrong by virtue of having white skin, and like the guy earlier in the video said, that's BS.
Here's how great it is to be white. I could get in a time machine and go to any time, and it would be f***ing awesome when I get there. That is exclusively a white privilege.
Or, you know, the great Asian and Middle Eastern societies that have been built throughout history as well. By the way, that's not really a privilege. It's historical evidence that European people have built the optimal and pretty great societies throughout history.
You know, I got called the N-word the other day. You know, I couldn't really do anything due to the fact that, you know, if I did anything, I may get shot by the police.
Really? You think if you had told that guy to F off, you think you would have gotten shot by police? White people get called names all the time, too. It's not something exclusive to minorities.
So, you know, that's white privilege. You know, some people can do certain things that, you know, African Americans really can't do.
What are some other examples of white privilege that you think you see in your day-to-day life where white people might get certain benefits from society that, you know, you don't?
Banks. If you have bad credit, or you have okay credit, like I do, why can't you give me a chance to build my credit? they give it to the white man or the white woman real quick. Why you don't think that I want that?
Ah, yes, those racist banks. Those banks are so racist, they even have loan programs set up specifically for minorities, where white people are actually explicitly banned from getting loans. By the way, there are other ways to improve your credit, like leasing a vehicle or paying rent.
What would you do differently if you were a white guy for a day?
What would I do differently? I don't know, get money, get paid? I don't know.
It would be nice to just walk around and not feel judged all the time. If my boyfriend and I could both walk around and be white for a day together, like, that would be amazing, and to not be called, you know, a lover or something like that.
Again, this idea that white people are somehow exempt from racial discrimination or bias is absolutely incorrect. Go on Twitter and type in white people or whitey people and take a look at what minorities are saying about whites. Conflict between racial groups exists, unfortunately, and it always has, and it's probably never going to go away.
If I was a white dude for a day, I wouldn't really run into any issues during the daytime at all. Like, I just kind of walk around and exist.
Sorry, but this guy's kind of a moron. White people aren't given everything on a silver platter. We have to work like everyone else does. The media gives people this idea that all whites live in country clubs and have trust funds, but it just isn't true at all. Content like this, and this narrative of white privilege, only serves to inflame racial anger directed towards white people. I've never oppressed a minority, and neither have most white people. Where people end up in life is largely determined by their work ethic and intelligence, and white people aren't manipulating or trying to suppress either one. Thanks for watching this video. It's been my privilege.
There you go. But it's indicative when you see this, and then you watch Colin Flaherty and the black-on-white criminal statistics, and you look at the FBI statistics, in which the FBI has been controlled by leftist, Marxist, black revolutionaries like Eric Holder, Barack Obama, and Loretta Lynch for 8 years. But they still, I bet you the numbers are skewed even to make it look like the black on crime, white crime numbers aren't as bad as they really are. You understand what I'm saying? I think these Marxists have really fudged the numbers to where it's, oh, it's not that bad, but it is still time. You're still probably about 25 times more likely to be attacked by a black person than you are anybody else in the United States, especially if you live in a city. It's probably 50 or 60 to 1 instead of 25. They've probably been skewing the numbers. I mean, this is how insane it is. And unfortunately, everybody's caught in their little echo chambers, and this is what really gets to me. Now, I wanted to talk about this. The N-bomb, the N-word, N-I-G-G-R, commonly referred to as nigger, N-I-G-G-R. This word that it has this mystical quality that it cannot be uttered by a white person, but black people can call it to themselves or between each other all day long. And when, how does this go into the First Amendment? How is this, especially on the workplace now, where I personally know this, where a white person is repeating the vernacular of another person and a black person is in the room and they said, well, that dude called so-and-so the N-bomb. And so by the white person, let's just say even in an official construct, report, narrative, or whatever, by them just uttering the word, not saying it themselves, but by uttering the word as a second party, as somebody that heard it, a third party, whatever you want to call it, that heard it, and they were just repeating what another individual said, that it triggers a black person that's just an earshot. And so the white person that said, yo, this person A called person B the N-bomb, I'll whisper it, nigger. They said it. The person just narrating the story, the sequence of events that happened between person A and person B, is now liable to be punished just because he uttered the word and he wasn't using it personally. He was just telling the story, the narrative. And this person is up for discipline. This person is a racist. This person is – he committed the unpardonable sin in the United States. He dropped the N-bomb, even though he wasn't dropping it on anybody. He was just saying what somebody else said. Oh, John Cleese, the producer, sent me this. When people cannot handle their own emotions, they start trying to control other people's behavior. That's pretty good. But I don't like this Orwellian thing that basically Kosher Nostra and elements, the radical leftist elements and the Jesuits and so forth, have done with this word, to where they've made it to where a white person can't utter it, even in telling a narrative, but yet black people can utter it back and forth all day to each other, and it's kosher. When we have these kind of standards between individuals where you supposedly have a free speech and First Amendment and so forth, and now I know at the workplace is slightly different than a personal life, but, I mean, even think about people on Facebook, or, I mean, if you're dumb enough to have Facebook, with your real name on it and so forth, and you have a professional career, I mean, think about it. I mean, Colin Kaepernick wants to have his Malcolm X hat on, and he's half white and raised by white people that were good enough to give him a good life, that gave him a chance to become a quarterback, and this punk, he's sitting here, wants his First Amendment rights on the NFL out on the field. I mean, we're in La La Land, so I'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
All right, we're back. Incendiary Radio. Now, I wanted to flesh that out because this, and then Sean's talk about, it's called black privilege, Rob. They can say it, but we can't. We'd be lucky to call each other cracker over here, and he's talking about Australia. 18C would see us in prison. AJAC instead of APAC. Talk about 18C, Aussie equivalent to APAC. I guess it's a Australian Israel Jewish Affairs Committee. I would guess that that stands for AJAC, and I'm just guessing off the top of my head. I guess I'm pretty close. Anyway, Lucid Hurricane, this person on Twitter I follow, and they do some good stuff. BLM, Black Lives Matter, does not fight supremacy. They want to be the supremacy. And you have to realize this. Just like with elements of Islam, okay, the practicing of what they call taqiyya, which is deception. It's halal or kosher in the Jewish world. But halal meat means it's clean to a Muslim. Kosher meat means it's clean to a Jew. Halal deception. And so you have all these black thinkers, the Cornel West, the Michael Eric Dysons, all the rest of these chump Marxist communists. Michael Eric Dyson is a thug, light skin, probably got 40% European bloodline in him. He works for the Jesuits at Georgetown, one of these leftist Marxist turds. I mean, real POS. You'll see him on the various Mark stream media outlets like MSNBC especially, but you'll see him on CNN, kind of a heavy set, kind of fat dude with glasses, real sharp with the tongue, but he's a real scumbag communist, and he works for the Jesuits at Georgetown, and he thinks he's real sharp and he's on point and the rest of it, but he's one of those guys that you really can tell he's got just enough European blood in him that he hates it. And, that's the thing about some of these folks that, you know, they got a white mom or a white dad and a black mom or a black dad and a white parent. A lot of these people turn out to be the most real hardcore. They hate Europeans and so forth. Farrakhan's another one. Real light skin. Look at his son, Mustafa, head of the FOI, the Fruit of Islam. These guys, they got a lot of white blood in them. And so they have, it's like they get polarized. It's like a magnet. They have to go one way or the other. And a good portion of them go the other way and they become really anti-white. Even though their genes inside of them, half of them, 50% are European. And so, this whole thing, it's fascinating to watch it because you see a lot of people that are biracial. Look, Barack Obama's another one. They do a lot of this very anti-European stuff behind the scenes because there's this war in their own DNA. It causes them to choose a side. And I've noticed this throughout my entire life because St. Louis is full of biracial people. And so you see this. You're like, it's very fascinating. These light skinned blacks are sometimes, look at Sean King. This kid, he's probably 75% white, and they call him Talcum X on Twitter. I mean, they troll this guy. He's a punk. He's no longer with the New York Daily News, but he really cut his teeth at Ferguson. Another one, D. Ray McKesson, You know, he's pretty much, you know, fully black. But I'm saying it's wild to watch all these agitprop types that cut their teeth in my hometown here in St. Louis with the Ferguson thing. You know, the whole thing really started with Trayvon. Then it moved to Ferguson, Eric Garner, Freddie Gray, Fernando Castile. This whole thing was a big racial psyop, a racial, synthetic media picks and chooses, Alton Maddox, all this weird, not Alton Maddox, Alton Sterling, I'm sorry. Alton Maddox was this black, hardcore, whack job, black attorney that used to hang out with the late Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, I'm sorry. But you look at some of these black supremacist groups, and it's like, wait a minute, dude, you're sitting here fighting white supremacy all day, and all you want to do is turn it around and implement black supremacy. And it's just like, and then 80% of our fellow man, whether they be white or black, are too retarded to even see what you're trying to implement, the 5%ers, all these, you know, the Hebrew Israelites on the East Coast predominantly. It's like you guys are black supremacy, but you whine all day about the evil white man and white supremacy. But your solution isn't anything but another form of supremacy, just like La Raza, the race. I mean, all funded by the billionaire.